Coming up on this episode of the Spiro Podcast.
But it is important as that we have a rest run cycle, that you let your body just breathe.
Yeah. Yep.
And if you put pressure on yourself during that time, you're actually doing, I think, more harm in taking the break, because you're trying to take the break, but you're putting guilt on yourself for taking the break.
Welcome to the Spiro Podcast, managing your real estate photography and videography business, with your hosts, Todd Kivimacki and Craig Magwell.
Hi, and welcome to the Spiro Podcast, managing your real estate photography and videography business. Spiro is a software platform designed to help you manage your day-to-day business and really help you scale and grow your business. I'm Craig Magram, host of the podcast, and always enjoy, you know, each week that we record these and publish these and just see the interaction. We appreciate you who listen or watch and just your interaction as well. So thank you for being the part of the Spiro community. With us each and every week, almost each and every week, our co-host and Spiro founder and owner, Todd Kivimacki. We're recording this on Good Friday, Todd, and it's bright and sunny, at least here in Northwest Ohio. How's your day going so far?
Oh, day's going great. It's, you know, we're coming into a slowdown for this Easter holiday weekend and, you know, just kind of remembering Good Friday. And, but it's good. It's, I'm right by you. I'm not far from you. So the sun is nice, Craig. Ohio fooled us a few days ago. It got warm as well. And then the next day it was sunny, or no, it was really overcast. And I'm kind of thinking, at least we have the warmth. And it walked out to smack dab in your face cold. So I was angry with Ohio this week, but Ohio is coming through a little bit better today.
I don't know, though. Don't hang your hat on that too much, because next Wednesday, I already saw there's a chance of snow again. High in the 50s. I'm thinking about riding the bike to my two shoots today, but snow next Wednesday possibly. So, yeah.
Well, does anyone anywhere south have an extra room for me? I'll help clean up.
Right.
I'll be a good roommate just if it's warm.
My wife and youngest get to go to Florida next week for spring break. I'm like, nice. I can't do it. This is, you know, this is the start of busy season. I don't take time off, and they've gotten used to that, but I'm kind of jealous, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, speaking of busy season, that's a little bit about what we're going to talk about this week and how to maximize our time. But before we get into that, let's get some updates on Spiro. Todd, what's going on with Spiro?
Yeah, on Spiro. So we have launched some goodies in the system for you recently. So invoice customization, you can put a memo if you have a tax ID or a VAT number. If you just want to add something about payments, you can now customize those invoices. So thanks for the feedback on that. That is in the system. Just some small one. Again, I've mentioned this a few times, but these are kind of some of our quality of life updates that we're improving, like the order grid enhancements. Many of you all told us that you wanted the date that the order was submitted and scheduled, the date it was scheduled and the time. We added that on there for you. Default country code. If you're an international user, your agent now won't have to change it to your country code. We'll just default it to your country code. So some other things, like you can upload multiple floor plans at one time. Trip fees you can charge per mile. You can disable the trip fee pop-up. So many of these quality of life things have gone in. A couple of things I wanted to mention is the merge fleet. So this isn't in the podcast today in the show notes, but if you're looking for a way to increase your average order value, doing video is going to be incredible. I talked to someone that's going to switch in to Spiro. I talked to her yesterday, and they had historically been using some pre-built take photos and make it into a video. And when I showed her the idea of what video is and that it can be edited by the merge fleet for as little as 10 bucks and it can be done in 10 or 20 minutes. And then the resources that we have to help train you and your team on how to shoot video. And you can even do it on an iPhone and $125 DJI gimbal or any gimbal. If you're looking to maximize and every business owner, I mean, that's what we do, right? We want to maximize everything, not just profit, but our time, our clients' marketing abilities. So it's just not for us, it's for our clients as well. I would just ask you to look at the Merge Fleet. So it's our logic-based video editor. We use it. We've put over 20,000 videos through it. A lot of you are using it, which is really cool to see. But if you're thinking about video and you're just like, oh, I don't know a workflow, I don't know video, I don't know who's going to edit the videos, we can check all those off for you. There's a free training course online. So you can get it in Spiro. You don't even have to be a Spiro user. So if you're not delivering in Spiro, if you're in another platform or not in a platform, you can use the standalone Merge and you can do video. You can increase your average order value and you can give your clients better marketing materials.
That's awesome.
Excited about that. Yeah. Also wanted to touch on a couple of upcoming things. So we have for our international users, translation is coming very soon. So the ability for you to have your client-facing pages be translated in your native language. That is coming here. Just talked to William today. He's our lead developer and a partner, Spiro. Looked at some of those things. It's exciting. Very exciting there. Quantity and variation, the number of images. You can do that. You just have to add another service. We're going to give you a little more flexibility on that. Some time zone enhancements and some other things.
Real quick on that quantity and variation, that's a great ad for virtual staging specifically too, isn't it, Todd?
It is. So we do it a little bit different, Craig, as to where we don't mm-hmm. sell. So I'll give you the 60 second on this, but I don't believe when an agent places an order that they really know how many virtually staged images they want. Mm-hmm. They just haven't seen your images yet. And they might see your images and decide they want more or less. So we have a workflow where the system automatically sends out an email to them when they order virtual staging. They order virtual staging, they see what the price will be on their final invoice, but we don't price it. We don't make them lock in a quantity at first because we find that it changes. So mm-hmm. I've got a great workflow of what we do at WOW, our real estate media company, in our knowledge base. So if you go to spiro.media, click on support and then search for virtual staging. You'll see what we do, but we have a really great flow. What we feel is a really great flow and we get it right every time. So, but that could be something that, you could use it for, Craig, is the quantity of virtual stage images.
Well, awesome. Great updates for Spiro, and they keep coming. Thanks to all of you that make the suggestions. You can always drop us a line, hello@spiro.media. And, we'll take a look at those, but yeah, very, very much user driven. So thank you for the feedback and the input that you've given us. All right. So Todd, we've gotten through those updates. One more thing before we get into the main subject for this week's episode. You've got a live video event coming up with Eli Jones in April, don't you?
Yes, we do. So Thursday, April 11th at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Eli Jones and I, we will be on his YouTube channel. We will be doing a live. This will be a free event. We will be talking about what we feel as though the most important metrics are to your business. What to track, how we track them, why do we track them, and how can you understand the health very quickly of your business just by looking at these key metrics. So I'm excited about this. This is something, y'all, that I didn't do for quite a while. Now, this is my 20th year. We hired on a consultant probably about 10 years ago, and we hired her to help build our sales program. Mm-hmm. And she came in, a good friend of mine still, Shannon Landers, and she said, "What's your average sale price?" We call it average order value now, but she said, "What's your ASP?" And I was like, "Shannon, what do you mean? What'd you just call me?" She's like, "What's your average?" You never knew it, Shannon. Sometimes you're like, all right, well, she just called me something, or maybe she didn't. But she's like, "What's your average order value?" I'm like, I have no clue. And I was like, and then when I realized that I didn't have a clue, it hit me. I was like, oh, this is a number that I should know and I should track. And so there's many more than that, but I do think there's two specifically, average order value and one more that we will talk about, that I feel are the two most important metrics to your business, and they're items that you can control. The other one is not revenue. It's not number of jobs. It's something completely different. It's something that we track at WOW, and it is extremely important no matter what the market condition is. But we're going to talk about it again. It is Thursday, April 11th at 5 p.m. Eastern. You can find us over on Eli Jones and YouTube, his YouTube page. So if you just search Eli Jones, you're going to find him. But I'm excited to do that, to give you guys the information, also to take your live questions as well.
Awesome. It's going to be a great event. So put that on your calendars and give yourself a reminder as well for that live event, talking about metrics and how and why they're important to your business. All right. Awesome. Good updates. And we got some relevant and timely information to dive into now, Todd. It's, you know, end of March when we're recording this. By the time it launches, we're going to be in April. You know, Easter has come and gone. Man, Easter was early this year.
It was.
But at least for us here in Northwest Ohio and in the Midwest, April is when things really start taking off for us in terms of activity. And Todd, you and I were kind of talking before the recording here just about how there's a shift in mentality and activity in what we're doing day to day. And as things get super, super busy in terms of the number of shoots that we're doing, you have to look at your time a little bit differently. So let's jump into that. Time is a premium.
It is. And no matter what season of the year we're in, so we're coming out of the idea of slow season into busy season. And at least I found with myself that I have to flip a switch in my brain. Mm-hmm. Because the activities are so different.
Right.
And slow season, historically, we've always built things, built programs, client acquisition, systems, whatever we felt was lacking at our company. And that's fun for me, at least. You know, it's fun to build new. I love new things. I love the change. But then you get into busy season and that time goes away because now you are shooting. And at least in my brain, and I don't shoot anymore, so I'm but my activities are different. I have to flip that switch, because if you're expecting to do all that building in busy season, I think you're setting some unrealistic expectations that you're going to build as fast as you did in off season. Now, that's not to say you can't do some smart things for your business. That's what we're going to talk about today, to continue to push the ball down the road. So I'm not saying all of you should just be like, oh, client acquisition, customer care, I'm not even going to worry about it until September. I'm not saying that, but you're not going to probably take five coffee meetings a week with realtors.
Right. Yep.
Even if you had the time, they're beginning to not have the time. So we're going to talk about some things today of how you can continue to work on your business when you're working in your business. Okay. Does that make sense? So how you're going to continue to grow your business when you're just hustling, trying to keep up with the business. At WOW, our number one core value is clients are our number one priority. So we feel as though anything we do should reflect that they are the most important aspect of our business. And we really focus on those relationships with the agents. So I'm going to set up a scenario here, and then Craig, I'm going to put you on the spot like I always do. It's not a face tattoo, so we're not going to talk about that. Although I did talk about it in morning meeting. I can't not talk about it on a Friday. I don't know why I love it so much. But it is Craig.
Real quick, before you get into this setting me up, do you remember back
it
in
even
the,
sounds
in the,
bad.
Do you remember back in the 80s, the crash test dummies?
I do.
I'm starting to feel like that a little bit. Craig, I'm going to set you in this vehicle and we're going to launch you down the runway and just see what happens.
Hey, you know,
Craig, I believe they did little yellow and black, you know, circle.
They did use real humans as well for crash test dummies. So, that, you know, that's.
Anyway, okay, go ahead. Let's get me strapped in here. Get me ready here.
Fasten your seatbelts, y'all. Yeah. Especially Craig, because we're going to go a little faster this time and hit the wall. Okay, so Craig, you've just worked your butt off during slow season. You've built relationships. Mm-hmm. You've done the coffee. You've done the uncomfortable things as an introvert to go out and go to those big events. And you've put in the work. And now we are starting to see some fruits of that labor. So this is great. Mm-hmm. New client names, they're coming in. New clients come in and they can sometimes come in with their own set of expectations.
Yes.
Now, there is an easy way to make sure that you and your new clients and even your existing clients are on the same page. That is probably one of the most difficult things to do. Communication is difficult. Mm-hmm. I sat with the leadership team this week. I said, hey, I don't think our communication is bad. I just would love to continue to work on our communication as a team. I personally think it's the number one gap at all businesses is communication. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have the phrase like the telephone game, you know, remember, like you tell one person, it goes to the next, and all of a sudden it's something completely different.
Right.
And, but there's ways to help with that. And focusing on it is one of those ways. That new clients is a segment of our client group, Craig, that we focus on at WOW. And setting those expectations, because we haven't always done it. And we realize that it has ended up bad for us and the new clients in the past. And when it ends up bad for the new clients and they leave you, why did you just do all of that hard work to not do a few simple things? So, Craig, what is your workflow with now that it is the end of March, we are seeing those names come in that, you know, you had coffee with, you were at an event with, and you have a start of a relationship and they trust you and they want to order from you. Mm-hmm. What's your approach with new clients when they order?
Yeah. So really there's kind of two situations. You have the client that you've built the relationship with, and that's one approach. And somewhat related, but a little bit different, is the new client that comes in that you actually had no contact with. It was a referral from another agent. They picked up your materials at their brokerage office, but they weren't at the presentation that you did. It's a cold contact, but an exciting one because they actually ordered from you. And I had one of those this week, so I'll walk through that situation in a bit. But yeah, I've gone through the coffee meeting. I've showed them what we can do. I've showed them some neat features like, you know, like the marketing toolkit, talked with them about goals, things like that, showed them basically how to order, you know, at that coffee meeting or at the presentation. I've, you know, put it up on the big screen, given them some basics, but they have at least the URL for the ordering site. Okay. So the realtor has placed their first order in the Spiro system, and we've got set up a trigger that will send us the internal team, the business development specialists, an email that says, hey, so-and-so has placed their first order. Okay. So this is now a visual checklist item for me to then follow up. I'll usually send them an email with just kind of re-emphasizing some of the things that we might have already talked about, like turnaround time on delivery of media, how to access your media and download it, a couple of links to some helpful knowledge base articles that are just the basics of getting started, contact information if they have any questions, things like that, so that they have at least the basic information they need to get their transaction going and get their photos and video up on the MLS. So we send them that email with that information.
Now, Craig, let me stop you right there real quick, sure, just to make sure I understand. So there is an email in Spiro that goes out automatically to admins. So mm-hmm. if you're in Spiro, you can go to settings, email templates, mm-hmm. and just search for new clients. There's one that goes out to the admins.
Correct.
And that's what Craig's referring to. So you yep. don't have to set anything up in Spiro. It's done for you. If mm-hmm. you want it to go to more of your team, you can add them in as a CC. Right. That email does not go to your clients. That's just correct. An inside email, and that yep. goes just to them.
Right.
And so they get that. So you would get that email. Mm-hmm. And then from there, the cool thing about it, now, one way we operate at WOW is that we use our inbox as a to-do list. And we categorize it. So I have a completed, and many of us follow the structure, but we have a subfolder inside of our inbox. And the main one is just called completed. And I drag my email. So if I have an email in my inbox, there is something to be done. When I have done that, I drag that email to the completed folder. It disappears from my main inbox. However, I can still search it because I did not delete it. I just moved mm-hmm. it into a subfolder. So the cool thing about it is that email hits your inbox and now you have a new to-do item in your inbox. So right. it's there for you when you can get to it. One other thing I just wanted to quickly note, Craig, is that also in the new order email, we set some expectations on every new order in the email. So we put the our standard delivery time in the email. We have links to some other things. Those go in as well. And just the email that every agent receives after they submit an order. I don't think you can overset expectations too much. Even if a client has ordered from you literally 500 times, there's probably something they don't know about your business. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just safe to set those expectations.
Right.
So, cool. So Craig, so you get the new email, and then from the new email, you're saying that, so have you talked to this client or not, or are we taking the path that you've talked to them already?
Yeah. In this situation. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I've already talked to them. I've already met with them or done a presentation or an event or something. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's been contact beforehand. So like I said, I follow up with my own personal email, just with a few, you know, reinforcement, and pieces of information, and just let them know, hey, congrats again on the listing, excited to shoot this for you. And I'll see you at the listing if they're going to be there.
I have a question, Craig.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
I see this asked a fair amount too. So that follow-up email, now my efficiency brain would say, hey, just draft a standard email and send it to everyone. What do you do? Do you customize it? What do you do in the email?
I have a block of information that is copy and paste.
Okay.
I'll paste that into a new one, but then I do personalize it a little bit because to me, the relationship part of it is really important. And I don't want to come off as a cold, you know, robotic type of email. I might reference a conversation we had. I might bring smart. Up, you know, something that we talked about related to families or, you know, something that just happened in their life. Somehow I'll bring something in that they know I actually wrote this email, even if I did copy and paste a good chunk yeah. of it.
I love that answer. I think that's so important on building the relationship. And again, y'all, he said he has a big block that he doesn't type out every time because it's the mm-hmm. same information, but right. build the relationship. And this is getting pretty easier because everybody's trying to discern what is AI anymore. And if right. you literally type out something that happened or you talked about with them, you know, it's kind of hard for them to be like, oh, yeah, this is a generated email. Like no one else knows that but you and them.
So you said AI. Ryan, our director of training, sent out on our Slack channel earlier, or maybe it was our workspace site, you know, photographers afraid of AI taking over our editing and taking of pictures. And it's all really goofy, messed up handshakes, you know, hands with extra fingers. And I'll see if Justine can get this up on the screen for those of you watching YouTube. You probably already saw it, but it just made me laugh when you said AI.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, Craig. So the second path, and if I'm taking you off course, let me know.
No, that's good.
So the second path is that there's just a new name in your inbox, and you don't recognize this name. So some marketing or some referral has worked, which is great news, but you haven't had a conversation, haven't set expectations, don't recognize this name. What do you do in that case?
So that's not as common, but it does happen. And usually what I'll do is either I'm going to make a phone call. If I see a new name and I see it's on my schedule, I'm going to try and reach out to them just to introduce myself before I get to that shoot. So it might be a phone call. If I don't get their, you know, them live on the phone, I'll leave a voicemail. Or sometimes I might just shoot a text or again, a quick email. I try to avoid email and text for that first one and try and make an actual phone call just to establish that real life, again, relationship. You're dealing with a real human being, and say, hey, congrats on the listing. Looking forward to it. We'll be there at this time. Just wanted to, verbally confirm with you as well. It's just a nice kind of warm up to that cold new customer appointment that you now have. So not a whole lot. I ask them, do you have any last minute questions or anything? And just give them the opportunity. And they might ask something here or there. But I try and keep it pretty simple. And then get to the shoot, do the shoot. A lot of times a new client is there because they're a little nervous about working with a new vendor as well. And that's just a great opportunity then to walk them through how we approach an appointment. Yeah, so I'm going to do the same thing I do with every seller when I get to that appointment, is I'm going to say, here's how this typically works. We're going to do photos first. I'm going to start on the first floor, then we'll shoot the second floor and then the basement. I'll wrap up outside. Then we'll do the video and just walk them through the whole thing. So here's a real life example. Had a new client that scheduled an appointment that I've never talked to, haven't met. And, did that initial reach out and introduce myself and, hey, looking forward to doing this with you. Got to the appointment. She was there. Introduced myself. Hey, nice to meet you. And I asked her before we even started the shoot. So, Lucynthia, how did you hear about WOW? Because I don't think we've had the opportunity to meet yet. She said, well, I saw your materials in her office. I said, oh, awesome. I said, were you at the, I just did a presentation like 2 weeks ago. Did I miss meeting you? She goes, no, I never make it to the meetings. I work another full-time job. I said, gotcha. Okay. So we just did a little chit chat. And then I verbally went through some of the expectations. Hey, once we're done with this, I'll have your media to you by 5 PM tomorrow, the next business day. And she's like, great, any questions? No, let's go ahead and get started. What do you need me? She asked me, what do you need me to do? And I'll take care of things. You just talk with the seller and I'll take care of all this. So as I was going through the shoot, she did ask a question about lighting or, should I move this? And that looks perfect. And she heard the shutter clicking multiple times. And so I explained how we shoot. The HDR process. And she said, that's really interesting. My last photographer never explained anything to me. So I appreciate you, explaining the advantage of how you shoot. Now I'm going to be able to talk to my sellers I'm the expert now. I said, exactly. Yes. I said, I love educating. I love teaching. She goes, well, it shows. Thank you for that. So I get this email, text afterwards, because the other thing I do in both cases of a cold client that I've not talked to and the one that I have talked to that's a new customer, I always follow up the next day after we've delivered the media. I check the Spiro system, make sure that the delivery email went out so I know that we sent it. I don't want to look dumb and, hey, did you get your email? And we didn't actually send it yet. So I know it's been sent. But I want to check and make sure it didn't go to their spam folder or something like that. So I followed up and I got her voicemail. I said, Lucynthia, thank you so much for the opportunity to be part of your marketing team. Really enjoyed the shoot yesterday. Congrats again on the listing. Just wanted to make sure you and your sellers are both very happy with the photos and the video that we shot for you. See if you had any further questions or any feedback for us, because we always want to do better and better. Asked for a call back or a text back. Well, I get this text back yesterday, Todd, and let me share this real quick. She wrote back, "Hi, Craig, the pictures turned out great. I appreciate your professionalism and tidbits about photography." So she remembered, you know, the little bit of education that we provided that is going to empower her and make her look even more like the professional that she is to her clients. Because our whole goal is, as marketing professionals, is to help our clients build their business. And her previous photographer did not add that value to their service to her. So just that one little thing, and it's all just in conversations.
Oh, I love that, Craig. It's so smart, so simple, but it's not easy because the other photographer didn't do it. Right. And I think as a small business, and we're all small businesses, you know, I think the definition of a small business is anything under 40 million a year. That's what the US government defines. So we're all small businesses. There's just these opportunities to really further relationships or capitalize on them, whatever word you want to use. You know, capitalize might feel bad, but it's not just you. Like Craig told her what HDR is and why we do it that way and gave her a tool that she can stand out from other agents the next time she goes and gets a listing, goes on a listing appointment. You know, she can use that and she can seem like the expert, like Craig said, she can seem like the expert. And that might just be one other little reason that pushes her ahead of someone else. Mm-hmm. And again, one thing Craig told us about this is she is actually she's working a full-time job. Mm-hmm. So this is an agent that needs every little, advantage as possible.
Right.
And I think that's just so cool to take the time to do that. And now that's something that she's like, you know, oh, I have this now and I can use this. So that's just amazing information, Craig. Really neat to hear that feedback. Neat to get the client's feedback too, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't always get, they're not always going to text you back. Sometimes you don't always get to talk to them. And sometimes you just have to assume no news is good news. I'm not saying do that every time,
right?
But it is really nice to hear that feedback from the agent.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Let me break that. I had one little part that I had a question on because I wanted to make sure that we got it right. So this agent placed an order. She happened to see our brochure in her office. Mm-hmm. So remember y'all when we were talking 3 months ago and we were talking about stopping into offices and dropping off your brochures and you're all like, oh, Todd, you're crazy. I'm not going to cold stop into an office. Like this, it works. Okay. She happened to see a brochure in the office. Like, come on. It does work.
It does. And she was using a competitor of ours, but she saw our brochure. She, you know, evidently it made a good impression on her. And she literally told me, I thought I'd give you guys a try. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I'm trying my best to make every best impression on her that I can so that we can continue that business relationship and secure that business for the future. And Yeah.
That's awesome. So one thing I wanted to ask Craig, cause this can be a little forward. And I think this is important. And you do it like you did it perfectly. You're a pro. You do it like a pro. I'm just phrasing it this way because I think sometimes, and I learned this when I shot wedding photography from the guy that I shadowed. So you're telling me when you go to do a first shoot and you're there, homeowners are there, or just the homeowners, you are telling those people what to do in their own house.
You like, know, believe it or not, actually, I don't usually have to. Most sellers, at least in my experience, will usually ask me, hey, if you need me to do anything, move, just let me know. Because they want to, they want their property, their house to look the best that it can. And they recognize I'm coming in with my Wow Video Tours lanyard. You know, I've got my logoed shirt. I've got my equipment. They know I'm the professional. And so most of the time, I don't really have to say anything. They volunteer, tell me what I need to do. And they're totally open to it. So an example again, I had a shoot this week that the house was gorgeous, staged beautifully. There were two of the bathrooms had, they were totally renovated. Great tile work. I wanted some detail shots of the showers because the showers looked really nice. The only issue was they had their soap and their shampoos and their loofahs still in the shower. So I popped back out of the bathroom. I said, hey, quick request if you don't mind. And, you know, I'm very gentle, very respectful. Yeah, yeah, what do you need? I said, you got beautiful showers in here. I want to get a detail shot of that tile work. She goes, oh, good, because we dropped this, you know, said how much money they had spent on the bathroom. So, yeah. I said, if you could just get those soaps, because we don't touch personal hygiene items. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, not a problem. I said, great, while you're doing that, I'll just shoot this other room. And yeah, it might sound like it's forward, but it's really not.
Yeah, no, and I was kind of just setting you up. I think you did it perfectly, and I think if you don't do that as a photographer, you are setting yourself up for failure, because most homeowners might be accommodating, but you're going to hit that homeowner that wants to take control, and if you let them control the situation, one, they're going to run over you, and two, you're leaving yourself up to the possibility that you don't get what you need.
Right.
That homeowner doesn't shoot real estate photography. They might be a photographer. They might have watched a YouTube video about photography. You know, they might be the expert, but they do not do it at the level you do it at. Yeah. And I think that's something important. And I have a couple of things in my, I have a couple of situations in my mind over the years where we've sent a photographer out there and they did not take control of the situation. And this, I can think of a couple that probably some of the largest listings we did. And it just got out of hand to the point that myself and Ryan had to show up as the experts. And there was some good dialogue with the homeowner about why I would do it that way. And then when that homeowner understood, and again, this is a homeowner that owned a ton of businesses, owned an houses all over the world. Like, they're used to being that alpha personality. Like, you have to assert your knowledge, your professionalism there, because if you don't, you're just, you could get run over by those individuals. So, and this might be good. Like, if you shoot really high end luxury, we don't have a ton. Like, you know, if we do a $3 million house in Ohio, like, that is the top of the top really around here. We've probably done an $8 or $10 million in the past out of, I don't know, 100,000 shoots. But for those of you that are shooting 10, 20, 30, $40 million properties, it'd be kind of interesting to get that perspective. Yeah, we can't give that perspective as to, are homeowners there? Are you dealing with more, I say this gently, egos? how do you command control? So if you're shooting those properties, send me an email, hello@spiro.media. Would love to feature you and kind of pick your brain there, because that's a segment that I can't give a ton of, other than a few situations where I feel very strongly that you need to walk in as the professional and you need to take control, because if not, you give control to someone else, your fate's in their hands. And I personally don't like that.
Right. Yeah. And your product doesn't come out the way your product should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You were hired for a reason. Exactly.
And then they're not happy because they dictated things. Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. That's a good point.
And you telling them, well, you told me, is going to do nothing more than set them off, because they're going to go, but you're the professional. Why'd I hire you if you didn't get it there? So
no win situation there.
It really is. It really is.
All right. So maximizing our time during this now busy season. Great. Some great tips there on how to maximize the relationship with your clients.
Yeah. Yeah. And all of that is just to make sure that you get it right the first time, that they know what to expect. Because think about it, y'all, at this point, if you don't do this and you need to go back out, you know, even think about, say it's not your fault. Say that just the house wasn't ready because that new client assumed that you would help stage when you got there. If you don't tell your new clients that you don't do that and you expect the house to be 100% show ready when you get there, and if you don't send them a checklist of what you do, if you don't allow them to put their homeowners and send the getting ready checklist to your homeowners, we do that in Spiro. Add the homeowners, because the homeowners are preparing for the property. Give them your checklist. Don't give it to your agents. You can. Your agents are going to leave it at their office. They're not going to give it to their homeowners all the time. So put your homeowners on the order. But think, if you show up in that situation just to say, hey, I'm sorry, guys, I don't stage, or I don't have time to do this now, we are going to have to cancel your appointment. think of how valuable that appointment is in busy season. Mm. Not only did you lose one appointment, you have some unhappy clients because they didn't realize that you don't clean, but also you told someone else no for that appointment and you have to reschedule that missed appointment. So
yeah.
Again, just trying to maximize your time in busy season now and really, really capitalize on all the efforts, the hard work that you guys have done in the off season.
Right. Time is money. You hate to boil it down to that, but time is money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Craig, thanks for sharing. That's incredible insight. And I think if you're not calling new agents, if you don't get an email when a new agent orders, that's probably the first problem. If you're using Spiro, you should be getting that email. If you're not, you've turned that email off. So go to settings, email templates, and turn on the new agent email. If you're in another system and you don't get it, or you're not in a system, this could be a point that you are potentially opening yourself up to some problems and counteracting the hard work you've done by just as simple as reaching out to new clients and make sure they understand what's going to happen.
Right. Good stuff. I'm thinking through, you made mention during this time, we don't have time for five coffees a week. During December, January, February, that's what I'm trying to do is get as many meetings with and presentations as I can. But yeah, once April hits, I kind of keep my calendar open for appointments so that we can maximize getting realtors in. I'll share. Last week I had a full day and we didn't have a photographer able to come up to help me cover it. And no, actually I was off for a funeral. And mm-hmm. we didn't have the availability and we lost that listing to a competitor because they had to have it that day. So trying mm-hmm. to maximize your available time for your clients is critically important, especially during busy season. So yeah. I don't put many meetings or presentations on my calendar April through October because I just know I need that time to be available for the clients that have decided to work with us. So great point, Todd. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And thanks for sharing. Those are real live examples. We don't make these up, y'all. Those actually happen. So that is, we're just trying to give what we do and what we've screwed up in the past. And now we do it the right way. Craig's doing fabulous with that flow. So we wanted to share it with you because we feel though it is very important to your business.
Right. Right. Any closing thoughts or insights you want to share, Todd?
I think we covered it well. Just as you switch your routines, be okay with it. Just tell yourself that, you know, Craig said, hey, I just keep my calendar open. And that's actually a good thing. Don't take that as a bad thing that you can't take five coffees a week. Take that as a good thing that you can service your clients when they need mm-hmm. you at their property.
Can I share one more thing? Just
yeah, please.
For transparency. And again, Todd and I talked about this and he encouraged me and Steve, our director of sales and marketing and Chris, our sales manager, all encouraged me. I was pretty transparent with all three of these guys that the last month, I feel like my brain just hasn't been where it needs to be. Usually I work at a very high, level pace. I try to maximize my time during the off season with presentations and meetings. Well, the last month or so, I haven't been doing that as much. And I had felt, now this was a perception, and here's why metrics are important. I had felt like I wasn't hitting my goals the way I needed to. Mm-hmm. And so I was honest with our team. And that's one thing I appreciate about our culture is we can have honest conversations and just have some good dialogue. And there's not judgment, but there's encouragement. And okay, how can we do better? But I shared that. And Todd, you encouraged me, Chris encouraged me that it's okay to have that shift and a little bit of downtime. Let me have you, Todd, share what you just shared with me before we started recording. I told you, I haven't been as busy with meetings and presentations for the last month. Now, part of it was my own mental block. Part of it was, I know I'm gearing up for spring and I need to start making availability, but mentally I felt guilty. Mm-hmm. So what was it that you shared with me?
Yeah, I said you just got to work twice as hard and you're doing a crappy job.
Dang it, Bobby.
Sorry. I couldn't resist, Craig. I should. It's just I'm a kid at heart. Yeah, so yeah. I try to do that just because sometimes you have to laugh at some situations. It's we're all silly humans. I had a coach that used that. His name was Dennis. And he's like, you're just a silly. I'm like, oh, that was so dumb, Dennis. He's like, no, we're all just silly humans. We just tell ourselves things that aren't true. Yeah. So, you know, first off, that was good for me to know as a business owner. Steve had talked to me yesterday about it. So, you know, he said that they rearranged some things because there was a metric in there that was kind of incorrect and taking the numbers a different way. But Craig's main market was doing fabulous. And it was good for me to know that. And because I think Craig's doing a fabulous job. So something in my mind is like, hey, I have to make sure as the business owner that these individuals know that I am really happy with what's going on. And this is what we should be doing. You know, so at the start of the conversation with Craig and I just said, hey, I think you're doing fabulous. I think where we're at, I know we adjusted some of the Toledo numbers, and I think that was a really smart decision. And where we're at is great, Craig, and I am happy with it. I think we're doing great things. Also, and I said a lot, Craig, and one of them seemed good to you, so I'm happy with that. So if I'm not saying the right thing, let me know. But also kind of mentioned the idea of, you know, we do have to switch our thinking in busy season. And there's a rest-run cycle as humans.
That's what it was.
That we have to be aware of. And I shared with myself, so I was on vacation about 3 weeks ago, and I took a full week of vacation, actually a week and a day. And then my daughter had surgery the following week, and I was off Thursday and Friday. Mm-hmm. So that was an outrageous amount of hours for me to be off. I've been in this run cycle of WOW and building Spiro, where I've just been pounding out these hours and almost like, yeah, I can do these hours, which is really silly. I mean, just really silly for me to kid myself like, oh, that was great. I got 70 in that week. Like, no, Todd, that was dumb. That was really dumb, and you're kind of cheating. But it is important as that we have a rest run cycle, that you let your body just breathe.
Yeah. Yep.
And if you put pressure on yourself during that time, you're actually doing, I think, more harm in taking the break, because you're trying to take the break, but you're putting guilt on yourself for taking the break. And I think that can be a very tricky thing. And maybe you all out there are doing it. You're a solopreneur. You're just doing this yourself. Maybe you're putting some unhealthy expectations on yourself.
Yep.
But also, if you have employees, and that's employees, contractors, VAs, if you have people that help you in your business, and this is a thing that I'm learning and learning more and more every day, is you need to make sure that you communicate that to them. Because I am nothing but over the moon with what Craig's doing. And to find out that Craig's like, man, I'm probably off this last month. Like, am I even doing enough? Is it even worth me doing this? Like, and he didn't say those things, but you know, those are some of the feelings that it could go towards. It's like, no, I'm so excited to have Craig on the team, and I'm so happy with what he's doing. And the numbers are actually incredible. I think it's important as the owner that you voice that to the people that help you do what you do every day.
Yeah. And I appreciated that. And the conversation I had with Chris yesterday, I was going into that just feeling, I think we all know that feeling. And afterwards, and after we broke down the numbers and I looked at Toledo, I'm like, oh, actually I'm doing a lot better than I
really
felt like and perceived that I was doing, because my activity level, like you said, was not at this normal level that I run at. Mm-hmm. And I do the exact thing that you just said. I feel guilty when I slow down and pull back, because my dad taught me a hard work ethic. You go, you work hard, you go above and beyond. And it's not any pressure that I'm getting from our management. That's just self-imposed. And I think, is like you said, as solopreneurs and entrepreneurs, we have that drive, but we have to slow down and be okay with that and understand it's just, it's healthy and it's good. And you have to do it. I mean, it's the whole concept. If you want to turn it to a kind of a faith side of it, it's the whole idea of a Sabbath rest, taking a regular cadence of rhythm and rest. A book that I'll suggest, I might've already mentioned this, and then we'll wrap up the episode, because this is maximizing our time.
It is.
It's a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. It's by John Mark Comer, C-O-M-E-R. And I'm telling you, Todd, incredible, incredible book and talking about setting up a rhythm of life that is sustainable. And our culture does not promote a rhythm of life or business or anything that's sustainable. And it's causing mental health issues. And we want you as a business owner to be mentally healthy so that you can run your business well, take care of the employees and the contractors that you have well. And if you're not in a healthy place, they're not going to be in a healthy place. So check that book out. I strongly suggest it. I'm going to read through it a second time because I just read to absorb. Now I'm going to go back and read to get some practices in my own life. So, all right.
I think that's such great insight, Craig. Thanks for sharing these for all of you that are like, oh, these are feelings and feelings are uncomfortable to you. I'm telling you, I thought that for a long time, especially when I was younger. Like, why do we need feelings? Like, I am telling you, that is the key to you growing the business is understanding feelings with your employees, with your clients, telling them that they're important to you, making sure that you let them know what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. And thank you for sharing, Craig. That means really great advice.
I think we have to get comfortable with it and realize this is just part of life. Business is not just, it's not supposed to be cold, hard, cruel, impersonal, non-human. We're human beings. You know, we all have to make a living. Yes. We all have to work hard. Yes. You know, but we can talk about things in a real way and not make it weird and mushy and whatever.
Yeah.
It's just it's scientifically true. Take it down to the science. We need the rest. So anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
Todd, thank you. Great insight from you. And we appreciate that. If you have thoughts and you're watching the YouTube channel, leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you, especially those of you shooting those higher end luxury listings that earn the $3-4 million+. We'd love to get your insight that Todd mentioned before. And again, as always, if you have a business related topic that you'd like to see us cover or have a guest come on and help cover that may be an expert in that, drop us an email. It's just hello@spiro.media. And if you want to learn a little bit more about the software, if you're not already in Spiro, just go to the website again, spiro.media. Your likes and shares and subscriptions are always appreciated. It helps us get more information out to more of this real estate media community. So we thank you in advance for subscribing, liking, and sharing as well. Todd, I know people are going to be watching this after the fact, but have a happy Easter. And
thank you as well.
Yeah, appreciate it. Make sure you guys take time to be thankful for your blessings this week and slow down, take a breath, and eliminate hurry in your life. Have a good week. Take care.
Thank you for joining us for the Spiro Podcast, Managing Your Real Estate Photography and Videography Business. This is a production of Spiro and WOW Video Tours. You can find out more about Spiro's real estate media business management software at our website, spiro.media.